This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Listen carefully. You are now 5,000 miles from land. And you're descending 7 miles to the bottom of the ocean. See you all in a month.
Here we go.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how bad's my rig?
10. We drilled to the bottom of the ocean, and we don't know what came out.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Sharmila Ganesan. And in this never-ending slog that we call the work-from-home rotation, we have Arvind Yuvaraj joining us from home. So today is actually our review slot. It is, after all, a Wednesday. And we have kind of a bit of a jam-packed episode for you because we're actually going to be reviewing, in a sense, 4 movies. Or rather, we are going to be reviewing 2. But our friends at Astro wanted to let you know that at the moment there are 4 movies that are going to be available in the month of June for rental. That's pay-per-view. And that is Fantasy Island, Underwater, 1917, and Cats. And so the reason why we say we're going to probably review 2 films is because we've done quite a bit about 1917 and Cats.
Yes, and you should definitely check both of those out. We had a lot to say. 1917, resoundingly happy experience. Well, not happy experience watching, but good reviews.
Yes.
Cats, mixed bag of reviews, I would
still
say.
Love it.
I'm going to reserve judgment.
I can't remember what Arvind said at the time. I remember your eyes looked like they were dying as we spoke. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I said the movie shouldn't have had credits because it, you know, you shouldn't name those people in that way, name and shame. You should just ended it.
I continue to maintain that it is a deeply entertaining watch. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But we have not actually touched on the show Fantasy Island and Underwater. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And I think we'll start off with Underwater, which came out first, I think.
Yes, between
the two. And yeah, and it stars Kristen Stewart. Yes.
Yeah.
And it stars Kristen Stewart. And as the title would suggest, it takes place underwater, very, very deep underwater in a drill station where the station itself is threatened by forces. You're not exactly sure what those are. Are they natural? Are they supernatural? Are they extraterrestrial? And then the movie kind of unfolds from there.
I will just preempt everything you need to know about this movie by saying most people describe it as alien, but underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really it. I mean, Kristen Stewart is very much a Ripley-like character. Maybe not as... especially in the first Alien, I think you can almost see beat for beat what they're trying to do with her role. I didn't hate it. Is probably the best thing I can say about the movie. But I think it's a good TV watch, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Guys, I really like this movie.
Oh, okay then.
Really, really enjoyed this movie. Because I didn't know what it was about. So I didn't read the synopsis. I'd only seen one poster, which was Kristen Stewart's face. And that doesn't tell you anything. I didn't see any of the trailers. So it's the Train to Busan effect. Because I watched that movie not knowing anything, and I thought it was like an indie Korean thing about someone traveling cross country. So in watching Underwater, I thought it was about like a diving expedition, or you know, and they get trapped or something happens to the rig or whatever. So as the movie progresses, like each and every scene, I'm like, whoa. Like I had no idea that these things were involved. So I really enjoyed it. The element of surprise and not knowing what it's about, I think is the perfect way to watch this movie.
Okay. So this is the part where I say how I feel. I have actually grown to enjoy this movie more than I did the first time I watched it. And I think there's a very simple reason for that. I went to the cinema to watch this somewhat reluctantly. I'm not always, when I'm not in the mood to be scared, I just don't want to be scared. It's that simple. But that day it was someone else's pick. So we went, we watched it. And at the time I found it exactly, you know, alien, but underwater. However, looking back on it now, I think about it with a fair amount of fondness. I think that it does actually quite a lot with the setup, because there are very few things scarier if you're going to be staying on Earth, I think, than going to a place where you're very, very, very far away from other people and very, very, very far away from help, which is exactly where this movie places you. It's immense pressure, both psychological and water-wise. And you also have the fact that if you call for help, there's nothing, there's nobody, it's darkness. And so, yes, the alien comparisons are very much there, but I think it does a little bit more with its setting than I gave it credit for the first time round.
I will also say that, so I watched this movie with someone else and we both, within the first 5 minutes, were like, we're going to make a bet about who dies first. And we kind of very cleverly thought we were being, you know, like, and we named our respective lists. And I think it's to the movie's credit that we were wrong. The movie kind of surprises you in terms of how it does those things, you know, which character sort of gets offed at a particular time and how.
Gets offed. Yeah.
Yes, because we are reviewing a 1950s gangster movie after all. But yeah, and I think that's to the film's credit as well. It also doesn't overplay its card. There isn't unnecessary exposition. There isn't long drawn out emotional conversations before someone suddenly dies. So it keeps things along at a fairly fast pace, which also helps give it that, like I really mean it when I say it's that kind of movie that I remember watching when I was a kid, where you're kind of like, oh, it's the weekend, I have nothing else to do, I'm going to watch something on TV. And this is a pretty good watch.
1950s is not too far off, actually, because it has a lot of, it's inspired by a lot of things from the 50s and 60s horror movies.
And Lovecraft.
Yeah. So, you know, without giving anything away, it has a lot of influence, I guess. But also the other thing I wanted to shout out is the soundtrack. Like, I love the sound of the movie. It is inspired by Alien. Again, it is inspired by Interstellar a bit. Mm. But it also has a very sort of, it uses a lot of low frequencies that sound very frightening, especially when you listen to it, accompanied by some of the scenes that happen towards the third act of the film. The sound design for this movie is like really nice, especially for a horror movie. I think it sort of shadows the movie a bit because it's too good for the film. But again, just another thing that I enjoyed in Underwater.
Speaking of, I suppose, something that it doesn't need to be as good as it is. I think Kristen Stewart's performance, we haven't talked about that, which is funny because we've been positing her as our Ripley, and that would make it a sort of one-woman film in many ways, which it is. You know, it's very centered on her character. It's very centered on whether this person is going to get offed, whether they're going to make it. And she, I think, really keeps you engaged. When you look at her, like, I didn't get tired of watching her. I didn't get tired of, you know, rooting for her. And I think that really helps you navigate the twists and turns of the movie, because otherwise the other characters, I think, fall quite neatly into B-movie tropes. Mm. You can kind of, you know already that maybe some characters you don't need to get too attached to. You already know. But it helps that you have such a strong and compelling central performance at the heart of it to keep you going.
I think Kristen Stewart really has finally let go of the Twilight burden. You know, because I watched her in the Charlie's Angels remake. I didn't like the movie, but she was my favorite thing about that remake. Similarly to this film, I liked this film, but really she carries it on her shoulders. And you can really see, you know, she was known to be a good, really good child actress. And then Twilight came along and all of the hate and the you have no expressions kind of comments. I think she's really redeemed herself of late with her choices. They're quite offbeat. And I think she's finding her niche in terms of the kinds of roles that she can play on screen. And this is definitely one of them. I can totally see her as a female action hero. And I would be really behind that.
I wish she had better co-stars, though, because, you know, the moment, I have nothing against, like, T.J. Miller, but the moment you see T.J. Miller in a film, you know what kind of film it's going to be. Like, it's in a certain, you know, it's in a certain bracket.
No, but they throw you a curveball with Vincent Cassel. So, yeah, you know, yeah, it's yeah, sort of a this but that.
Yeah, yeah. But I just wish he had someone to bounce that acting and that sort of charisma off of, but which she didn't. She didn't in this movie. She carried this movie on her back. So it's a Kristen Stewart film. Mm. Even though they try to sort of shift the weight to other people in the movie, they don't do much.
Hence so her face on the poster.
Mm. On the poster, yeah. and no one else recognizable. But yeah, it reminds me of lots of stuff that I watched maybe the early 2000s. There was like this whole bunch of horror movies that I used to watch straight to DVD. This movie, I think, would have done a lot better if it came out maybe 15 years ago.
Okay, so on that note, if you are keen on renting Underwater, you actually can at the moment. It's available to rent on Astro. It actually became available earlier this week, I believe. So you can find that on Astro Best on channel 481 or on demand via your connected PVR box. It'll cost you just 10 ringgit and then you'll have it available to you to watch for 48 hours after payment. And if you wanted to appreciate that sound design that Arvin was talking about earlier. So that was Underwater. Coming up, we're going to be talking about another movie that's available to rent and that we haven't yet spoken about on the show, and that is Fantasy Island. Let us know what you think. Have you seen Underwater? Do you plan to? You can let us know by WhatsApping 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be right back on Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Here, anything and everything is possible.
No service. It's not everything is possible.
Good evening. I'm Mr. Rurik. Let me officially welcome you to Fantasy Island.
What if your fantasy involves a person from your life?
Holograms, like Tupac.
What if it's somebody who died?
Tupac.
So, what's your fantasy?
Revenge on a childhood bully.
Just want it. I see it.
Your life is about to change.
Got it. Yeah, I want it.
I hope you're ready.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila. And today we are actually talking about four movies that are available to rent on Astro at the moment. And we say four, but actually we're talking about two again because we've spoken about 1917 and Cats in the past, though we will be back to let you know when they'll be released for rental. But now we wanted to focus on the second of our movies. So earlier we spoke about Underwater, and now we are going to be talking about Fantasy Island, which is a... We're going to split the difference here because none of us can agree exactly how this is pronounced, but it's a Blumhouse or Blumhouse production. And they are, of course, people who have been a deeply profitable little production house that have been making low-budget films and releasing it to great acclaim. This includes, of course, your Insidiouses, mm-hmm, but it also includes Get Out. So it's a wide range, and this is one of them. I don't know how else to describe it.
So I will self-avowedly admit that I was too chicken to watch this because I was living on my own, so I didn't think I could deal with a horror movie at home by myself. But I'm happy to hear what you have to say, and I have thoughts about the Blum/Blumhouse sort of genre of filmmaking, so I'm happy to share those.
Arvin, how much of the story do we tell?
I think we can say it's a remake of the old TV show. Mm-hmm. So there was the original TV show, then there was a remake of that TV show, and then now there's Fantasy Island, the movie, that is sort of also a horror slasher killer flick.
Yeah, so it's a horror adaptation because the original clearly wasn't a slasher horror.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so basically, a bunch of people fly to an island, and this island purportedly will make all their fantasies come true. But no matter what happens, they're going to have to see the fantasy through to its logical conclusion. So that's what they've been told. Every person gets one fantasy. Each person has to see it all the way through. And as you might guess, you know, fantasies don't go the way people thought it would. And it has Michael Peña playing Mr. Rock, the mysterious keeper of the island, I suppose. And I don't know. I mean, it's a I found it boring. So I just have to say that upfront. I did not. I thought that I was going to enjoy the early part. You know, most horror movies of this type will have a very fun setup, right? The party scene before it all goes wrong. The moment of joy before everything just starts sliding downhill. But even that, I didn't particularly love. I don't think the humor, and there were quite a few attempts at humor. I don't think any of those really super landed for me. So, I mean, I watched it. It was fine, but I did not enjoy the film.
So for me, this movie falls, like, there are two kinds of horror movies, right? Like, one of it is like the quality ones, and it's the one that you want to see in the cinema, and there's a lot of dread and a lot of darkness and a lot of heaviness to them, like Hereditary or something. Mm. But and then there's this, like, this sort of horror movie where it's supposed to be more fun than frightening or more fun than scary. So if I'd seen this in the cinema on a weekend night, or, you know, Saturday night or something, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot. Similarly, the way I watched it, I watched it when I had nothing much to do, and I could just sit and focus and relax, and it was fine. But I think it works more as a communal experience, because these kinds of horror movies have, like, certain jump scares, so you need the crowd to sort of react with you. At the same time, there are some things in the movie that are unintentionally funny, so you need the crowd to laugh with you when that happens, and it just makes it more fun. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know why this remake had to happen, because Lost exists, and that's like the perfect remake of Fantasy Island. And there was like 6 seasons of that. If you want to, you know, put a twist on the concept, right? But it's obvious that Blumhouse tried to give it a horror spin. I'm not sure how well it worked. I think it would have worked better if they did like a faithful adaptation of the old shows.
So here's the thing, guys. You are talking about a Blumhouse production, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched Insidious. Paranormal Activity was them as well. I mean, these are not sort of cinematic genius productions. They are what they are, but they do that B greatness really well. Does this not even do that? Is there a standard for B grade?
I think so. Yeah. I would certainly argue that there is a way to make, or that there are some B grade movies, B movies that are enjoyable in their own right and that you can hold up as hallmarks of the genre. In this particular version, I think where it falls down for me is fundamentally a lack of chemistry between anybody. So you have, it's, aside from the jump scares and the premise that fantasies are not what you want, the other side of it is that you have a bunch of people who don't know each other flying to an island where something is clearly going to happen and they're all going to have to try to survive together. I don't think it's a spoiler to say that if you're watching a slasher movie on an island, that's just the truth of it. But I don't care about them, and I don't care about their relationships to one another. I don't think that they care about their relationships to one another. So that's where it fell down for me. Even the slightest attempts to kind of establish that sort of rapport didn't quite work.
Mm. Also, they were too forward with the supernatural parts. The thing about the older shows, the series, was that it was kind of supernatural. Like, you suspected certain things, like, is this person maybe, you know, a human being, or are they something else? And in this movie, they sort of just tell you that there's something going on, or, you know, there are some weird elements, and they explain it. They're too forward about it. Also, I think Michael Peña is the wrong person to play.
Yeah,
Mr.
dude.
Rock. Yeah.
I was quite excited about, actually, like, if there was anything that would have convinced me to watch the movie, it was him.
Yeah, no.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry. No, he plays it very, very straight. And I think that we know that he can do drama. But this is not drama. This is sort of a middle of the road, not sure what it's doing, but he plays it really, really straight. And that makes the other performances stand out in a weird way too, I think.
Yeah, it's like whenever he shows up, you half expect like either Seth Rogen or Danny McBride to sort of show up behind him, and James Franco or whatever. It's that sort of, he plays it in that sort of way where it's weird, but it's also comedically weird. It's not strange, it's not frightening, it's not like ominous, like, ooh, who's this, or what does he know, and how is he doing this? It's none of that. It's just, it's kind of goofy. And he's not a bad actor, but I don't know why. It just comes off as goofy when he does it.
Does the horror at least work? The scares?
no. I mean, it's fun, It's fun. Oh, Michael Rooker's in it. Michael Rooker's in it, and I don't know why, but I was happy to see him in it. He didn't have to be. I think they paid him just for the name value. But he plays like this cuckoo person on the island so well. Like, it's just Michael Rooker phoning it in.
Yeah, for, I think, pretty maybe 15
minutes. Yeah, pretty much on set. So he is nice. But does the horror work? No, I'd say not really. It's fun, but it's okay. It's not that scary.
I'm a huge scaredy cat. I generally avoid horror at all costs. Hence my earlier slight aversion to watching underwater in the cinemas. No, the horror doesn't work, which makes it great for me.
So I can watch it on my own.
You totally could have. You know,
you can.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes. So yeah. I think that's pretty much it. It was a box office success, though. I did want to say that.
Yes, that's
it,
right.
Yeah.
And that surprised me. So again, I got super excited when I saw this coming out. I don't know why. The poster, the association to the old show. I missed it in the cinema because I wasn't around when it came out. And then when I thought, oh, well, we're now going to see these movies that... you know, that were released earlier this year, being available on the small screen, I was actually quite excited to watch it because it seemed to have done pretty well. So obviously something resonated with people.
Yeah. You know what the other thing is? I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel. Like, I know I'm saying it's not a good movie and stuff, but that doesn't mean it's unwatchable. And for some reason, I don't know why, but if there was like a Fantasy Island 2, I'd watch it.
So you like the world it's set in?
I mean, it's a beautiful
sure.
island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. The island is great. I totally get what you're saying, Arvid. If this show ever, if the sequel ever comes on a plane or in
yes.
on my television or whatever, you're right. I would watch it. But I don't regret spending the time watching this film. I just don't think it was particularly good. I think that's the best way to describe my extremely middling feelings towards it. But yeah, so we've been talking today about movies that are actually available right now as pay-per-view titles on Astro Best. You can rent Fantasy Island now, actually. It's been available since the 12th of June. You can rent Underwater now as well, available since the 15th. And we've also been talking about, oh, we've touched on the fact that there are two other movies that are going to be available for rental, and that's 1917 and Cats, both of which we've spoken about extensively on the show. 1917 you can get on the 20th of June, Cats on the 26th. Again, all of these movies and some others are available to rent from just 10 ringgit each via Astro Best, that is channel 481, or on demand via your connected PVR box. Let us know your thoughts on these movies. We've been talking about Underwater as well as Fantasy Island, also Cats 1917, just very, very briefly. You know, are you into renting movies? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. If you wanted to just follow along for fun updates and the like, you can find us at BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. And if you have something longer to say or you have some suggestions, perhaps, you can, of course, send that through to us at movies@bfm.my. You have been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.